Hear now God's word from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Almighty God, your word is truth. Your word is full, filled to overflowing of truth which we need. And even if we're familiar with these truths, we need to be reminded of them over and over. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would use this text, perhaps even very familiar to some here this morning. Encourage us, change us, advance your work in us through the preaching of your word. I seek your Spirit's unction in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if ever there was an account in Scripture that captured the human condition, well, this is it. This poor woman was suffering for many years under an incurable disease, and no matter where she had looked for a cure, her condition only grew worse. And part of what the Word of God is getting at in recording these healing miracles is that we too, all of us, have a condition under which we suffer, a condition for which we spend untold amounts of time and money and effort seeking relief. And like this struggling woman, our condition, if we're truly honest about this, never improves no matter what political, medical, technological, psychological, sociological approaches we take. For you see, while our physical diseases are bad enough, our greatest, deepest affliction of all is our disease of sin. Sin which permeates down to the deepest recesses of our hearts and souls, bringing deep and profound trouble into every area of our lives. And the aim of our text is not only to bring us face to face with the reality of our condition, with the reality that we cannot cure ourselves of this deepest of sins, but to also give us hope by pointing us to the one who truly can heal us of that which so afflicts us. Again, Jesus' words to her, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." If there's anything this world needs, it's peace. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Again, this is a picture ultimately, not just of physical healing. This is a picture of the healing of our disease of sin. So please realize what we have in this account are the riches of God's forgiving grace in Christ. Isn't it glorious? Now, if you read through the Gospels, you'll realize Jesus performed a lot of miracles. And many more of them were not even recorded in Scripture. The Gospels would just be too big. And both the types of miracles that he performed were both miracles over nature, such as when he calmed the storm, peace, be still, as well as miracles which brought physical healing and multiplying of bread and so forth. And there's a really, really important question that we need to ask regarding Jesus' miracles. Why did Jesus perform miracles? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What Jesus did and what Jesus said was never sort of random, never sort of just on the impulse of the moment. So, why did Jesus do what he did? What was Jesus' purpose in performing these many miracles, including this one? You see, Jesus didn't just perform miracles in order to be a really nice guy healing people or in order to put on a really spectacular show to draw crowds. In fact, Jesus wasn't thrilled with large crowds, was he? Rather, Jesus' miracles are intended to teach us very, very critical redemptive truths. Through the miracles, God is seeking to communicate great things about himself, his love, his grace, and Christ's great mission. For one thing, Jesus' miracles reveal his divine authority. His divine authority, for example, to heal physical diseases. His divine authority to command nature itself, as well as divine authority to cast out demons. In chapter 8 of Matthew's gospel, Matthew makes a very important observation regarding the healings which Jesus performed. In Matthew 8, verses 16 to 17, we read this. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Jesus cast out demons, and he healed everybody who was sick. Now listen carefully to this. Matthew goes on to point out something about those healings and the casting out of demons. Matthew says, this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Matthew, by declaring that Jesus' healings were a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, which is all about the suffering servant, suffering to heal us of our sins, Matthew is telling us that Jesus' healing miracles were intended to point us something even deeper than mere physical healing. And I'm not downgrading, by the way, or downplaying our need for healing. Please don't misunderstand me on this one at all. But, you see, these healing miracles point us to the glorious, hope-filled truth that Jesus came ultimately to heal us of our greatest and most desperate disease, which is our disease of sin. And by healing our core disease, Jesus thereby restores us to true health in every form. And even our physical diseases and our aging unto death, they are the result of our sin. They are the result of God's curse upon us due to our sin. And even our physical diseases are meant to drive us to Christ for forgiveness and thereby ultimate healing. Now, the fact that this is the deeper message underlying Jesus' miracles, let me put it to you this way. If all you seek is physical healing, you get healed of some terrible disease, guess what? At some point, you either get sick again or we're all going to die. So what good is mere physical healing? Do you see what I'm getting at by saying this? Ultimately, long-term, what good is mere physical healing? There's a deeper purpose. There's a deeper message underlying Jesus' miracles. And this is brought out, for example, when Jesus healed that paralyzed man in Luke chapter 5. Remember how in that account, Jesus startles us when instead of first healing that man who was in such desperate need of healing of his paralysis, Jesus instead healed that man of his sin, declaring, Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. We didn't expect that. They lower this man through that ceiling who's paralyzed, and you're thinking, of course, Jesus is going to heal him so he can get up and walk. And instead, Jesus says, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. In other words, Jesus was declaring that to be forgiven of our sins and to be restored to God is really the starting point of it all. It's the starting place. This is the most needful thing of all. Now, lest you may think that this is a naive statement that I'm making, consider Johnny Erickson Tada. Many of you are familiar with her, who herself has been paralyzed now for many decades. And if you read through her books, you'll find not only her story, but you'll find story after story of those who, like her, are paralyzed. And who, again, like her, from their wheelchairs, declare this very same truth. They say consistently that they would rather be paralyzed and know Christ and know His forgiveness of sins than to merely be physically healed and to be separated from God. Do you realize that? And joy upon joy, when Christ returns, all who trust in Christ will receive glorious resurrection bodies, and there will be no more diseases. And so the healing miracles also, by the way, point us forward to that great day when there will be no more paralysis, crippling, diseases, etc., because of God's grace in Christ. As Christ declares in Matthew 18, verse 8, it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. So there's something going on here. There's something we might call first things first, which is our affliction of sin. This then brings us back to our text in Matthew 5, where we have this woman who's been suffering for 12 long years with bleeding. Verses 25 and 26 here. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. Who knows what things they might have done to her in an attempt to heal her. She had spent all that she had and she was no better, but she actually was worse. This is a suffering woman. Our hearts go out to her. And it's very likely that some of you here this morning relate to her plight. And where we're headed is that this woman's desperate condition in a very real way illustrates her own desperate condition as well. Most likely she was suffering from excessive menstrual bleeding, which the doctors were unable to cure. Such a condition would have left her weak. It would have left her anemic. She is very likely very susceptible to catching whatever bug happened to be going around at the time. But perhaps even worse, on a spiritual level, this condition made her, if you're familiar with the Old Testament law, this condition rendered her ceremonially unclean. You see, this is getting down to something even worse, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. Imagine 12 long years of enduring the spiritual and the social penalties of being ceremonially unclean. The practical consequences of ceremonial uncleanliness from which she had no relief meant that she was unfit to enter into the presence of God. Because uncleanness is a picture of our sin. She was unfit to come into the presence of God. She was excluded from worship. And on a social level, her uncleanness isolated her from the rest of the Jewish community. People could not be touched by her, nor could they come into contact with any furniture that she had sat on. Think of what this emotionally and spiritually was like for her. In other words, if you touched this poor suffering woman, even accidentally, or if you sat in a chair that she had sat in, then you would also become ceremonially unclean, and you too would be unfit to enter in the presence of God at the temple. This put her into a social category, much like a leper, excluded, ostracized. The loneliness, the isolation, the lack of human physical touch must have been a terrible, perhaps even worse condition to suffer under. In other words, her desperate spiritual condition, which was the result of her physical disease, illustrates the broader human condition. You see, we too have a disorder which not only affects ourselves, but which also affects everything and everyone we come into contact with. This condition, it affects our marriages, it affects our children, our loved ones, our co-workers, our neighbors, our fellow members of our covenant community. It affects every single one of our relationships. This condition I'm referring to impacts our work, our study, our recreation, our beliefs. It impacts our church, what we desire, what we like, what we dislike. It impacts our goals, our frustrations, our hopes. It's as if everything and everyone we come into contact with becomes unclean due to our own disease of sin. Everything, it seems, becomes unclean due to our own disease of sin. Our sin creates misunderstandings and suspicion. It creates quarrels and fights and hard feelings and wars and bitterness, and we become overly sensitive to the offenses of others, and we want revenge, and it just goes on and on. And the same holds true for our relationship with God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." And the end result of our spiritual disease of sin are things like loneliness, isolation, despair, quarrels, fights, pornography, drugs, alcohol, gossip, fear, frustration, depression, and of course, God's curse and eternal judgment. Like this woman, our afflictions are truly painful and serious. And that's why we search for a cure in so many places. But sadly, through the entire history of humanity, we have never been able to find the cure we seek, have we? Verse 26, look how we can relate to this woman. "And she had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and her condition was no better, but she grew worse." She grew worse. The bottom line is that her condition was, humanly speaking, incurable. Again, 12 long years, doctor to doctor to doctor, no one could help her. She only grew worse. Some of you here this morning can relate to her plight, having gone from doctor to doctor and having tried this approach, that routine. The truth is that we too are all searching for a cure which ails us. Life is difficult. Life is full of trouble. And all around us, people are offering cures, including in the universities. And because life is a struggle, and because life is full of difficulties, we, like this woman, are searching, going from, and I'll say, quote unquote, doctor to doctor. One person who says, "I have the cure," to the next person who says, "They have the cure." At least trying to at least make life more bearable. And the paths we travel, the doctors, the programs, the diets, the fads we try, they are innumerable. Public television, if you ever watch public television during their fundraising times, during those times they often air special programs featuring doctors. And just recently they went through that phase of fundraising again. I turned it on. And there was one of these doctors, and I forgot what he was offering hope for. But usually it's a doctor that offers hope for brain health, and so that your brain won't age, or doctors who are showing you how to attain better health, slow your aging, whatever it is, renewing your energy. And I'm always finding myself captivated by the hope that they are providing. You know, and I think, okay, maybe this guy, or this lady, they're onto something. And then I kind of wake up in a sense and realize, no, even if I spend the money and buy their videos and tapes and books and all of these things, I'm still going to die, right? A few years ago, I came across a number of diet books that we were going to throw away, and I figured I could take them to a used bookstore and at least get a couple of bucks for these books. Thinking, diet books. Everybody buys diet books. These I'm going to get some money for. But you know what happened? The used bookstore did not want those diet books. And they said it's because everybody keeps moving on to a newer and a newer and a newer diet. So we won't buy your diet books because they're already old and outdated, even though they were relatively new. Again, illustrating the human condition. We try self-esteem, we try yoga, we try psychotherapy, time management, self-improvement, we change careers, we change cars, we change homes, and we change spouses, don't we? Truly, Proverbs 14, verse 12 is right on target when it declares, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Truly, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its way, its end is death. So why is it that no matter what we pursue, we find that like the woman here in Mark chapter 5, we end up no better and many times only growing worse? The answer is that lying behind all of our diseases and struggles and difficulties is our own uncleanness, our disease of sin. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. So true. But here's our hope. I'm not going to end the sermon at this point, leaving everybody hanging with no hope. No, here's our hope, for Christ and Christ alone can truly heal our sin-sick souls. Let's return to this woman and find our hope in Christ, because that's what this is meant to point us towards. Verse 27 and following. She had heard the reports about Jesus. The gospel's going out, you see? She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, saying, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. She felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. I met with a local pastor just a few days ago, and he told me his story of coming to Christ. And one of the things he said was that after a very troubled youth, he finally came to Christ. And for the next few days, he truly felt he had been healed of the worst thing of all, which was his sin, his rebellion. And I shared with him that that's very similar to my own story at age 20 coming to Christ. For the couple of days after I came to Christ, there was this sense of joy, knowing that I had come out of the darkness into the light and that there was hope of eternal life and that I had been delivered from condemnation. And immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. There's determination, there's resolve in this remarkable woman. And even though she had suffered much under many doctors and had spent all the money that she had, she had only become worse, still she resolved to find that cure. And by the grace of God, what she found was the cure. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Don't you just love that? Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now, on the one hand, healings like this are indeed foretastes of the ultimate physical healing, which all who trust in Christ are going to experience because of the death and resurrection of Christ when Christ returns. But at the same time, we tend to see no further than this being the healing of a physical disease. And we need to look further. We have to also keep in mind the fuller picture of the work of Christ. Remember, all of Christ's healings are ultimately about redemption from sin. When Christ healed this woman of her bleeding, he actually healed her, again, of her ceremonial uncleanness, which in turn bears a profound spiritual message. In the Old Testament, being ceremonially unclean or defiled is a picture of sin. Sin which renders a person unfit to enter into the presence of a holy God. In other words, this healing of our uncleanness is meant to ultimately point us to the glorious fact that Christ heals us of the worst disease of all, our disease of sin, which alienates us from God and alienates us from one another, and which is the cause of so many of the troubles in this world. You see, we've got to look further and deeper than just limited physical healing. Remember the story of that paralyzed man I mentioned a little bit earlier, lowered down through the hole in the roof to Jesus so he could be healed? The fact that Jesus' physical healings are meant to teach us that he came to heal us of this ultimate disease then explains Jesus' surprising statement, "Take heart, my son, again, your sins are forgiven." You see that? I suspect that Christ's declaration gave this man something he needed far deeper than physical healing. Relief from a guilty and anguished soul. Relief from his alienation from God. I don't know, but I can almost imagine the alienation, the separation he would feel from people. He can't get up and join in groups. He can't get up and when he was a child, join his friends and stuff. That alienation which he must have felt from others, and he's different than others, I wonder how much more he might have felt that, how much more he might have felt unworthy to enter into the presence of God. John MacArthur tells of a girl that he once visited. Due to an accident, this girl had been paralyzed from the neck down. And she told him that if she could pull it off, she would commit suicide in order to avoid facing the bleak future that she was facing. Well, John MacArthur presented the gospel to her, and after some discussion with him, she placed her faith in Christ. And then sometime later, in another meeting, she told him, "I can honestly say now that I'm glad that the accident happened. Otherwise, I may have never met Christ and had my sins forgiven." I'm impressed with that young lady. She figured out something that sometimes many of us never figure out. When we encounter Jesus' declaration, "Your sins are forgiven," we're tempted to think that Jesus missed the mark. We're tempted to believe what this man needed more than anything else was to get up, pick up that mat, and walk away. But we forget our greatest need is forgiveness, salvation. We need to be reconciled to the very God who created us in his own image so that we might know him and find our fullness in him. We need to be delivered from our guilt, and we need to be delivered from our bondage to sin. Understand, what Christ did was lay the axe at the root of our deepest trouble, which is that disease of our transgressions, our sin, our rebellion. Our sin, again, separates us from God, it separates us from one another, and it impacts every part of our being. Our sin impacts every area of our lives. If we're really going to understand much of what happens in our life, it's not because of the other person whose finger we tend to point at. It's because of this person who all those other fingers are pointing back at. Take heart, for through faith in Christ, your sins are forgiven you. Through faith, we are restored to God, to his favor and love. A glorious transformation actually begins. You know, you've tried so many other ways to deal with your struggles in life. You've gone down so many wrong paths, so many blind aisles. Why not do as this woman did and embrace Christ as your Savior by faith? Ephesians 1, verses 7 to 8. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Please understand, in the story of this woman, as well as the story of the paralyzed man, we not only encounter illustrations of our human condition, but we also find the cure as well. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed. Understand, Jesus will not only save you from the penalty of your sins and from your alienation from God, but he will also heal you of your bondage to keep on sinning, so that you might find hope in your struggles in life, the very struggles that we experience daily. Come and receive his grace freely. Trust Christ to save you, to heal you of your afflictions, just as he healed that paralyzed man and he healed this woman. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to see beyond. Even though our physical afflictions and diseases are so bad as they are, help us to see even beyond this, to see what's worse. We do need to be healed of our deepest affliction, our rebellion, our unbelief, our transgressions, our rebellion, our sin. Help us to not only embrace Christ and seek this spiritual healing by faith, but help us to appreciate all the more the grace and the mercy and the love thereby that is to be found in Christ. I ask and pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen.